As we prepare to hear what the Bible has to say for us today, will you be in prayer with me? Gracious and holy God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you reveal yourself to us. So move within us to hear with fresh hearts and open eyes and open minds what it is that you would have us hear this day. And as we read these words, may we remember that the Word was in flesh incarnate in this gift of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So I invite you, as you are able, to stand as I read the day's gospel text. Why do we stand as we read the gospel? Because we are going to be in a posture of praise and prayer as we receive the embodiment of the Word of God. I'll be reading from the 17th chapter, starting with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance, and they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. So we have spent, the beginning of August until last week, an intentional season of saying, asking ourselves as a congregation, what is the faithful path for now that God is calling us to? What does this season of ministry look like for us? It culminated with our commitment to support the ministries of the church with Commitment Sunday. If you still need to submit yours, it's great. We welcome that. But part of that is that question of the faithful path. So I'm curious, how many of you, how would you define the word faith? Y'all are looking at me like, oh my gosh, I did not know there was going to be a test today. How would you define faith? And please share your Abby. Something that you believe in, something that's guiding you, something that gives you purpose. What do you think, too? Trust. What would you trust in? People. Okay. Faith. So we've heard something to believe in, something to hold on to, something that we can embody through trust. How else would you define faith? What do you think, Susan? Yeah. Something, believing in something that you cannot see, hear, smell, or touch, that doesn't engage our five senses, right? Something beyond our ability to grasp in our bodies, right? Something special. Any other ideas of what faith might be? Okay, so faith, you know, is a very important piece of this life that we lead as disciples. Would you agree with me? Yeah, and faith is something that is so fundamental to forming us as a community, and yet sometimes we don't have a really good definition of what faith is, right? And so how do we know what's faithful if we can't fully define it? And so, you know, the next few weeks, we're really going to think about faith from that perspective of how do we live it? How do we embody it? And I know for me, I say, well, I just have to have faith. And somebody on the outside would be like, what does that even mean? Right? What does that even mean? And for us, as we understand faith, it means that we are looking beyond ourselves, beyond this community, to something bigger than ourselves in order to make sense of our lives, in order to give us direction, to give us the values to which we hold our lives and live and work. And that something is God. We hold to this faith of the triune God, believing that it is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that God has this redemption plan in place from the very beginning, that we are incorporated into the family of God by our faith, through our baptisms. Today we celebrate how that faith is taking root and being grounded and will be nurtured by you and that sweet little girl, Charlotte, today. Reminding us that that faith that was passed from generation to generation was embodied when we ourselves came to the font, whether we remembered it or not. There is this trusting in something that what we see is not all that there is in this world, that God wants so much more for us. So how do we understand that? And particularly as we understand a whole faith, how is it made visible in our lives so that others can see it to receive that gift? Now, this story in Luke, let's just be, you know, kind of put it into context. So we know that there are four gospel texts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels, meaning that they have a lot in common. So you will hear similar stories and context on those. And then you have the Gospel of John, which, to be honest with you, is very different than the other three, right? But each has a very specific purpose. And the Gospel of Luke was really intended to speak to, like, the scientific mind, right? To really push the boundaries. So Matthew is written to bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, to really connect to the Jewish faith and as Jesus reimagined it for those who were going to choose to follow. And Mark was straight and to the point and concise, right? Like, we're going to do this, 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 and it's fast moving. And there is something called the messianic secret in that, where Jesus's identity is not fully revealed. And then we get to Luke, and the whole refrain of the Gospel of Luke is to reach those that are lost, the least, and the last. And I think for us, we may feel a lot of times that we are lost, last, and the least. So this gospel really speaks to that and is giving words of hope to those who